We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
When it comes to like exotic pets, how do you feel about a chicken?
Helping you unwind after a long day of work.
Why like, is there a chicken?
I saw at a local place where like you can adopt pets. It's like, you know, you're looking to see like what they got dog-wise, and like there's a chicken.
This is a dog, not a chicken. Chickens don't look like dogs.
Can a chicken be a pet?
No.
It feels like it'd be pretty easy to take care of.
The Nightcap.
Who the hell would want a chicken for a pet?
On WGR.
This is day one, and I'm already thinking about acquiring a chicken.
Sports Radio 550.
Hey, man, I mean, if you want to start shooting your pet chicken names over to at SneakyJoeWGR on Twitter, or also at 803-0550, the Nightcap here. Come on, Derek. You haven't come any further here on a pet chicken as an idea?
First off, you gave me, the guy who flips anything that Geary says into an open, you gave me material. So you knew that was going to get flipped on you.
Yeah, I'm already thinking about names, though. Like, I think it'd be a good idea. What about Russell Crowe? Is that a good chicken name? Oh, that'd be a better crow name. That's not really a chicken name. Never mind. That's terrible. Terrible. If we had the crickets sound, I think that it would be deserved there. Little Jerry Seinfeld. That would have to be it, because that's a Seinfeld reference, I think.
Hell, you can't even get a look from me on that one.
No. Not at all. There is a lot of stuff going on with the Bills today, reporting out in the media. We're going to spend a lot of time, hopefully, on that. Melvin Gordon in particular. Todd Gurley also released. He has not been connected to the Bills, but we'll touch on him again. But as we continue, work distancing, a.k.a. I'm in my self-quarantine here. Mike and Chris came out yesterday or on the air yesterday and it kind of explained why I'm not in work right now. Essentially, people have been asking on social media and on Twitter, just I have been around somebody that was around somebody that tested positive. So just to be safe, I am putting myself into a 14-day self-quarantine, and I am on day 3 of that. So happy to be with you, though, tonight, live from bed once again. Very comfortable sitting in here, ready to talk about the Bills. And whatever comes up, maybe chickens again will come up. We'll see what happens.
Mike and Chris brought that up today about how your setup right now, and you're just laying there in your bed, and Bulldog said,
oh, yeah.
I can't be that comfortable for that. There's no way. You know, he's not going to be able to lounge back to do a show, so kudos to you.
That's the thing about it. Like, usually, like, especially even, like, think about when you, like, talk sports, like, with your buddies or whatever. Like, you're sitting there watching a game, you're on the edge of your seat, or you're, you know, if you're at a sports bar or an establishment like that, then, like, you're sitting upright. And, of course, when we're in the studio, we're sitting upright. And that's not really what's happening here, and I thought I'd have an issue with that, but I've been fine so far, so I'm just going to keep rolling with it, because it's obviously the most comfortable option. So, I'm going to keep going with it. I am finding myself trying to find more and more things to watch on TV. I'm trying to catch up on Better Call Saul. Buzz in Buffalo, one of our frequent callers here on the Nightcap, chimed in yesterday with a Muhammad Ali documentary that I'm going to get to at some point. I know, Derek, you said yesterday that you're into gaming. And I've actually, today, I was more of my gaming day. A little bit of Rocket League is the game that I was playing today. So I'm getting into gaming a little bit more, and it's something that I've done, but not really as of late. And I don't know. There's a lot of time on your hands. Derek, tell me if this isn't right, though, because this is why I'm bringing this up. I think time goes faster playing video games than anything else in life. Like, you just sit down and play video games, 2 hours goes by, and you don't even notice. Like, do you pick up on that at all?
I would say it's case by case with that one. You're absolutely right. There are certain games that Jeremy and I, we were talking about this when I was filling in with the morning show a couple times last week. Based on how long that this coronavirus thing could be hanging around, we might be entering invest into Skyrim territory, and that game is the ultimate. You pick it up at noon, you have then bypassed dinner, it's 2 a.m., and you don't know why you're hungry.
Right. Yeah, that's a game I'm never stepping foot into.
That
never
is the
happening.
Ultimate game of it's suddenly 2 a.m. and you haven't eaten food.
Yeah, see, no, I can't do that. I need a game that I can walk away from at any point. That's why I've been more into sport video games over the course of my childhood and then even to now, is because sport video games, for the most part, like, you can walk away at any point. Like, once that game is over, then you're good. Like, you can walk away and that's it. And, yeah, like Skyrim,
you walk away, a dragon is eating you.
Right, like you can't walk away, and then it becomes 6 hours, so even more than the 2 that I spent playing today. I also, you know, took 2 walks today, actually, too. I'm getting out of the house a little bit in isolated areas to be able to walk around, get some fresh air. I know I saw Mark Poloncarz recommended that on Twitter. I would definitely recommend that. Today was beautiful out. I think tomorrow it's supposed to be much colder, but even then, I still think walks are a good idea if you're looking to get out of the house right now. But for now, if you're willing, or you can walk by listening to me and Derek kind of rap about the Bills here too, if you want. And as I mentioned, Brian Koziel is going to join us at 7:30 from the Tee to Green Golf Show, and of course the Sabres Radio Network. And we're going to spend a little time talking about the postponement in golf and what we could see schedule wise, because the Masters, missing out on the Masters, is going to be, that's going to be big, and that's going to be sad, because it's one of the best events of the year, the best sporting events of the year. To me, and I was looking forward to being able to watch the final round on Easter Sunday come early next month. We'll talk with some golf with Brian in the next segment. But the big story of the day, at least with the Bills, is the report from earlier today that they are interested in running back, free agent running back Melvin Gordon, and that there's interest on the other side as well. There's been another report more nationally on Melvin Gordon today that he does not have any offers anywhere near the $11 million a year offer that he denied from the Los Angeles Chargers before last year, before his holdout. And I'm not surprised. Like, I am not shocked at all. That happened kind of to Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell denied a contract from the Pittsburgh Steelers, which was a big deal, and he was looking for more money. The Steelers said no. He held out, didn't play, went to free agency the next season, still got a pretty good contract from the Jets, but it was less than what the Steelers had originally offered him. And this is probably what's going to happen with Melvin Gordon. Held out for more than $11 million a year. Found the Chargers weren't going to pay him that. Now he's making it to free agency, and he is quickly finding out what I think every running back, almost every running back, that tries to explore this same option is going to find out, is that teams are not going to pay you those big monster contracts. I think finally, most teams in the league, at least 90% of them, have figured out that you cannot be giving these big, monstrous contracts to running backs. And it doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if he's the best running back in football. And there's some guys, interesting guys coming up for that. Like Alvin Kamara has actually kind of hinted at it. I might hold out this year. He did that on Super Bowl week. And we'll see if he actually goes through with that. Saquon Barkley is going to be up for a contract in a year or two. Like, there are guys in this league that'll be very interesting to see whether they get paid. And what I'm thinking is maybe future running backs, before we even get into the Bills and Melvin Gordon here, we're just talking about the position as a whole. Players in that position in the future are going to look at these situations, Le'Veon Bell, Melvin Gordon, most notably, and think, well, look what happens when you try to maximize what you think you're worth. Like, the market is telling you you're not worth that. And it sucks because you're a star player. And it feels weird because these running backs are star players. Like, Melvin Gordon is a household name in the NFL. But because the position is what it is, it does not make him worth what he's worth or what he thinks he's worth. And that's happening league-wide right now. 3 running backs have signed in total. That's it. 3 running backs. Jordan Howard goes from the Eagles to the Miami Dolphins, a 2-year deal for $10 million, $5 million per year. J.D. McKissic, who's like a third-down depth running back who I'm sure many of you have never even heard of, he goes from the Lions to the Washington Redskins for a 2-year deal worth a total total of $3.2 million. Super cheap. Like, that's the type of move I'm looking for. J.D. McKissic, a guy you've never heard of, that is a good receiving back, that, you know, if Devin Singletary goes down, he's not the best option to be a three-down workhorse, but he could be part of a rotation. That's what I want. And then Tywan Jones is the third running back to sign, and he's hardly even a running back. He's more of a special teamer at this point in his career. He goes from the Texans to the Bills. And now Todd Gurley is available. He was released by the Rams. Todd Gurley's maybe another example to look at for this. Gurley signed a contract. The Rams signed Gurley to a contract when he had 2 years left on his rookie deal. And 2 years later, they are eating a massive cap hit to get him off the team. And now they have a third round running back from last year, Daryl Henderson, who flashed some really nice plays last season. He's going to come in there, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if he gives them the same production or close to that that a Todd Gurley did a couple of years ago. That's what the position is. And that, and by the way, like I didn't mention all the names that are available. Lamar Miller is a starting caliber running back who has not signed a contract. I mentioned Devontae Freeman, Melvin Gordon, of course, Carlos Hyde, who was a starting running back for the Texans last year who were in the playoffs. There's a bunch of guys that are still available, and that leads us to the Bills and this report from earlier in the day that Melvin Gordon is of interest to them. Now, there's another report from the AP in the last hour that the Bills are not in on Melvin Gordon. I hope that's the case, but this is, to me, one of the worst ideas for the Bills, not only because of everything I just said about the Bill, about the running back position, but add in two other factors. One, Devin Singletary might be that good a running back. He might be a guy, he might be good enough to where in 2-3 years, we are talking about, should the Bills pay Devin Singletary? Because he's great, he's amazing, but I'm not supposed to pay that position a big contract. Thirdly, I don't really think Melvin Gordon's even that good. So I'm now at a point where I've got three things working against that idea. And I would see why fans are excited about an idea like this. Because when you're drawing up the Bills roster on paper, and it's Melvin Gordon in the backfield, when you add Stephon Diggs at receiver, and you've got John Brown and Cole Beasley, and you've got Dawson Knox, and you've got Josh Allen, and now you've got Melvin Gordon on that list, that looks like that's a sexy list. Like, that's a nice looking list that will get respect around the league, but it doesn't make it smart and it doesn't make it a good idea. So Derek, I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but I cannot hate the Melvin Gordon idea more. And I've said it before, but I'm still in that boat.
You know, I'm one of the things that I'm always going to probably be lockstep with you in is that Melvin Gordon is terribly overrated. I don't like the idea of it genuinely on the whole, but there are some names out there now that could be an interesting duo piece for you with Devin Singletary. One of those things being like a Devontae Freeman or a Todd Gurley, guys that are now going to come back to try to get a little bit of a rebound check. Or maybe in the case of Gurley in particular with his injuries, he might be looking at a prove-it deal. So I don't know if Gurley's going to go ahead and command that same kind of salary or think of that sort of thing. Because one, that contract and the amount of money that they paid out just to have him not play for the Rams anymore, Gurley's probably not going to have to look at a situation where he will want to command as much money as possible. So he'll probably want a prove-it deal, and the Buffalo Bills would be a very good place for that sort of thing, where he's not going to have to be the bell cow. He can work himself back to health, and there's a younger guy in Devin Singletary that can be relied on with those things, because when healthy, Gurley is a can-do-everything guy. So I like that idea, because of the fact that I don't suspect Gurley is going to command a high salary. Same with Devontae Freeman. I don't think he's going to be a guy who's going to command a high salary or hope for that sort of thing. Whereas with Melvin Gordon, the Le'Veon Bell situation, it's worse for Gordon because he's not getting anything out there on the open market because he got outperformed by Austin Eckler last year. I think that this is one of the big things that you can toe the line on running backs being something that you don't need them to go after. But I think that there's some case-by-case scenarios here where the Bills would be, I wouldn't say wise, but it would be a good idea for them to kick the tires on a couple of those bigger names, knowing that they may not command the big money that they used to. And also, one last thing. Only one running back that has signed a major contract is kind of going to be rewarded for that sort of thing right now, because Devontae Freeman was cut, Melvin Gordon's not getting anything, Todd Gurley just got cut. David Johnson got traded for DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, but are we counting that? I mean, Bill O'Brien, man, it's just like going crazy. Like,
I know, but it's a nice little badge of honor. Like, hey, I got traded for DeAndre Hopkins. What's up?
How do you think Bill O'Brien's thinking about that right now? Like, he traded for an expensive David Johnson, and 2 days later, he could have had Todd Gurley for free. Well, not for free, but for a much smaller, less than $10 million a year. I could tell you that.
He's not good at his job. O'Brien.
No, he's not. I don't even think he's a good head coach, and he's in charge of the whole thing. He's in charge of the general managering and acquiring personnel.
It does piss me off that the Bills lost to this guy.
Well, to me, I don't think of it that way. I think that I think the Texans won that game in spite of Bill O'Brien. I think Deshaun Watson's just that good. So I get what you're saying, but I'm not thinking about him too much in the playoff game. I'm thinking more about Deshaun Watson. But I will say that you do make a good point about, like, Gurley. Gurley more specifically, because Gordon, I have a wonder on how he even fits into this offense. I worry that if Melvin Gordon comes here, because of the type of running back he is, he's more of the workhorse guy. He's not a guy that I'm throwing the ball to 70, 80 times a year, and he's going to be very efficient in that way. I'm looking for the great scat back, pass-catching running back who's going to catch the ball 60 times a season and be like my version of James White. He doesn't even have to be an amazing elite running back. And when I scroll through the current free agent list at running back, like, the name that jumps out to me the most amazingly, even though Gurley's on this list and Freeman's on this list and Gordon's on this list, it's a guy like Chris Thompson. Chris Thompson, who is like a main, like, what he is a pass catching running back. He's not going to carry the ball that much for you, but he's going to catch the ball at least 40 times a season and could get anywhere up to around 70 catches, depending on how much Josh Allen wants to dump the ball off to the running back. Like, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the screen pass running back. And I actually think Devin Singletary could be that, but I also think Devin Singletary might be too good for that. I want them to look for a complement to Singletary. And what you're saying about Gurley, like, if that's right, if he's looking for that prove-it contract to prove to people that the knee is okay, the knee is still good, and almost kind of like the argument I made last night for a scenario where the Bills could get a Jadeveon Clowney. Clowney coming here to kind of rebuild his value. If that's what Gurley's looking for, a one-year prove it deal to rebuild his value, and he comes in here as a compliment to a great running back in Devin Singletary, from what I see as a great running back in Devin Singletary, then I'm okay with that, because what Todd Gurley has that Melvin Gordon does not have is a history in this league of being a productive receiving running back. It's not just in terms of volume like it is with Gordon. Gordon has a lot of catches, but it really was because he played with Phillip Rivers, and Phillip Rivers was always looking to dump the ball off to the running back. That's why Austin Eckler worked so well in that offense. Gurley has been a very good pass-catching running back throughout his career. He is very good at creating yards after the catch, and even though last year was maybe his worst season doing that, I think there would still be a hope that he could do that in the future. Is that the best idea for that, though? To me, my best idea for drafting for getting a running back is still drafting a guy exactly where you drafted Devin Singletary last season, third round, because the success rate for drafting running backs there is really high. But you see what I'm saying? Like, I'm looking for a different type of running back, I guess, than what Melvin Gordon and, to a lesser extent, even Gurley and Freeman. Like, I just want to see that pass-catching, that great pass-catching running back that I don't really think the Bills have right now.
I think that you are right about a couple of those things, and Chris Thompson's an interesting name there. But if that's the case, then why not just try to see what you have there in T.J. Yeldon, who's under contract again? I think that the other thing about it is...
That is what he is, too. Yeah, that's what he is, a pass-catching guy.
The other thing is, I like that you want them to be able to utilize the screen game more, but there's one problem here. You need to call it, and Dable doesn't. So I don't think they need to look for that sort of player, because they're not putting that play call in their repertoire that often. I think that's where Todd Gurley really kind of still sings a little bit more to me, and it sings louder to me as a good idea, because it's a prove-it thing. And the Bills, over the last couple of years, they've taken on those injury reclamation projects and have had some good success with them. So why not do it again?
Yeah. I like that. That's a good thought. Don't you think, though, that they might operate more in the screen game if they had more success in it? It felt like every time they went to it last year, it just would blow up in their face. And I don't know if that was just because the linemen up front are not super athletic, or if it's because the Bills really only had one guy active on game days they could throw a screen pass to at running back, and that was Devin Singletary. Like, you were never doing that to Frank Gore. So maybe Yeldon could be this. Maybe if TJ Yeldon's in the lineup more, maybe you do run more screen passes, because maybe you're able to hide it better. Like, when Singletary was out there, man, like, if I'm the defense, like I am, I think the rate in which they threw the ball with Devin Singletary on the field was almost twice as much as it was Frank Gore. I got to look that up again. But I'm pretty sure that the rate in which the Bills threw the ball when Singletary is on the field was incredibly higher than when Frank Gore was on the field. And what I'd like to see is instead of bringing in another between the tackles runner, and Gurley's not this, so maybe he kind of separates from Melvin Gordon here, I think. Gurley is this, but I think there are more parts of his game that I would like to explore. It's having another running back on the field that keeps the defense on their heels and doesn't allow them to really know what is coming. And that's what I think where you need to get. If that could be a rookie, that would be my preference. But you make a good point. The injury reclamation. How many times have they done that? And maybe they should continue to do that. And sometimes it doesn't work. You know, like they brought on a Trent Murphy who was coming off a torn ACL, missed an entire season for the Washington Redskins, and it didn't really work all that much. But and it still hasn't really worked, and I'm still kind of surprised that he's still on the team. But then you've got other guys, you know, like Kevin Johnson last season. Kevin Johnson had a nice bounce-back year after struggling to even get on the field for the Houston Texans, and I'm sure there are other guys that I'm missing right now that have kind of been reclamation projects for the Bills up front. I'm not really thinking of any off the top of my head, but Jordan Poyer. Jordan Poyer is maybe the best example of this. He couldn't stay healthy for the Browns. They brought him here on kind of a prove-it deal, at least a small salary deal, and he becomes a near Pro Bowl player. I think he is a Pro Bowl player, just maybe doesn't have the name recognition. So if I had to pick one of these big name free agents, I think Gurley might be the choice here for me because I think what you're saying is right. I think I could get him on the prove it contract. He's the youngest of the bunch. And I also think maybe that I think he's probably the best of the bunch. Like, right? No? Is that not fair to say? Like, I think Freeman is still very good too. I would tell you I don't think Gordon's that good, but I think Gurley's probably the best.
Yeah, I think Gurley's probably the best when healthy, and that is the main stipulation in all of this. So let me. You mentioned the name Frank Gore, and that made me think of something just now, and it's really just quite simply this. You had the 1-2 punch of Gore Singletary last year. How much better does it sound if it's Singletary Gurley, as in Singletary is your top guy in the depth chart, Gurley's there on
way
a prove
better.
It. Exactly. So say instead of Frank Gore running those short yardage plays, you've got Todd Gurley doing that instead. And Gurley's not necessarily what I would call a hammer back, but the fact is that he's only 25 years old, and to think that his knees have been that messed up and he's only 25, that's an unfortunate part of his position and the workload that he got in college. But It's just that simple thought of the depth chart and the usage would be a little different on this, but your name recognition, for one, is much higher there, and two, Gurley is not going to have to do everything anymore because Devin Singletary could be the primary ball carrier for this team and the guy that you can still use out there in passing situations to try to go ahead and make sure that you're using him in the screen game, using him on the swing and the outlet passes, maybe even throw him in the slot and have Todd Gurley there in the backfield. Maybe it's the fact that I'm just trying to, it's the power of a name, so I do have to be careful, but the more and more that I'm talking about this, the more and more that we're talking about Todd Gurley as a better option, probably the best option, it really is kind of just sounding more and more like a good idea. And hey, sun's going to go down in a couple of, in like probably I'd say 30 minutes, so Brandon Bean might be doing some work.
Right, Bills After Dark has been a thing this week on when they do some action. I love that. I'm looking at a list of starting running backs in the league right now. I'm trying to pick out another good landing spot. Like if I'm Todd Gurley, if I'm Melvin Gordon, and we've had this discussion with quarterback, like how many starting spots are available? Running back, how many are available? And I'm looking around. Like Denver seems to be up there because John Elway and the Broncos have reportedly been wanting to get in the free agent market. I think the Chiefs maybe are an idea here. Like Todd, I could totally see Todd Gurley going to Kansas City. I think the Chargers probably want to add somebody next to Austin Eckler that's more of a between-the-tackles runner. So maybe they just replace Melvin Gordon with Todd Gurley or Devontae Freeman.
Tampa.
And Tampa. Right. Tampa's was the other one. That was really the only other one I think I could find. So there's only three or four teams. Atlanta would be one, but they just got rid of a veteran running back like that, so I don't think they're going back to that. Tampa's a good one. Peyton Barber's a free agent, started some games for them the last couple of years, and it's just Ronald Jones.
And
Ronald Jones, who had a... I don't think he's great. He had a horrible rookie year. He definitely bounced back last year. Like, he had a better season last year. I don't think he's a starting caliber running back. Yeah, I don't think he's a starting caliber running back. Like, they drafted him to be a second-round pick. Like, holy cow. But I'll give him some credit. You know, like, 724 yards last year, 4.2 yards per carry. Not a huge weapon in the passing game. He did add another 300 yards. So, just over 1,000 yards from scrimmage last year. And 6 touchdowns while being slightly above average yards per carry wise. Tampa, though, you're right. Like, they bump him back to the number 2. And there's been this report that team players want to go now to play with Tom Brady. Maybe that could be Todd Gurley in Tampa Bay, or Devontae Freeman, or Melvin Gordon. I think you're right. I think Tampa's probably the best team here to land one of those three guys.
Yeah.
And 803-0550. Go ahead.
I think that Buffalo should be one of those teams that could be looking at one of these players. And I'm with you on this. If you have to rank the big name guys, I'm going Gurley, Freeman, name another player, Gordon. But yeah, the one thing that we do know is that there's a report that the Bills are interested in Gordon. So we may need to elaborate more on the former Charger.
Yes, 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll talk more Melvin Gordon a little bit down the road here, and if you want to get your calls in, feel free to do that. Brian Koziel, Tita Green, Sabres Radio Network, our guy from WGR here, is going to join me and Derek on the way back. We're going to talk a little bit of golf, the postponements, what we could be looking at schedule-wise, the Masters being postponed, the Players being postponed. I believe I saw the PGA Championship is going to be postponed as well. We'll get into all of that with Brian when we return. On the Nightcap with Joe DiBiase and Derek Kramer. This is WGR. Welcome back to the Nightcap. Joe DiBiase, Derek Kramer here on WGR. We talk a little bit of golf here. Brian Koziel's on the Western Hotline. We'll get back to running back and the Bills as we progress throughout the night, but we're going to take a little bit of a timeout now, talk some golf, the postponements, and what the schedule might look like the rest of the season. Brian, what's up, man? How are you?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good. What's the number one thing on the watch list right now for Brian Koziel?
I will say this. I had, you know, I guess, and maybe some did, for me, a little Saber fatigue. However, given the circumstances we had, I do miss still being at the games, even if sometimes they were tough to watch. So I was excited to hear today that those are coming up next week. I have been watching quite a bit of the Food Network because my 10-year-old son shows with the judges and he likes to play along, so we've been watching quite a bit of that. And a little HD because of my wife. So it's been a nice little mix, but I'm looking forward to I never get to watch a Sabres game at my house. So I will kind of get a chance to do that next week when they replay those games. I'm sure a lot of people kind of look forward to watching those games coming up next week, give them something to look forward to during the day.
Yeah, definitely. I'm glad you mentioned that because that's actually something I wanted to ask you about. The 5 games that they picked, like, which one would you be the most excited to watch? Like, I know the Sabres and Rangers game after 9/11 is noteworthy, but I don't remember anything about that game, and I actually think the Sabres lost that game, so I'm not sure how much I'll be looking forward to seeing that one. I don't remember anything about the Sabres winning that 10-game or getting that 10-game win streak in 06. To me, like, game 6 in 94 is probably my top of the list because that's a game that I never saw. Same with the final game at the Odd. I'm a little disappointed that didn't find a way to get game 1 against Ottawa in 2006 up there. It's like my favorite playoff game ever. But what would be your number one for what the 5 games they pick next week?
I think it's the one against New Jersey that you mentioned, playoff game, game 6. I don't remember a lot about that. I started really paying attention to the Sabres being old enough, just maybe end of the 80s into the early 90s. So, I mean, I'm sure I watched it. I don't remember enough of it. So I'm excited to see that game quite a bit. I think any of the games in the auditorium will be fun to watch just to remember mm-hmm. what the old building looked like. And for those that were young enough or that weren't able to ever go there, just had such good character. Like, you just, back in that day, like, every building, it was so obvious. Like, you could give me, like, 2 seconds worth of video. I'm like, oh, I know that. Boston Garden, Maple Leaf Garden, Chicago Stadium, The Odd, like, Montreal Forum. Like, you could just see it instantly. Now a lot of these buildings look so similar, it's a little tougher to do that. And I think everybody that hasn't watched games from The Odd before will enjoy those. And definitely, I mean, Hasek played just out of his mind in that game and made 70 saves. And I know that they said they're going to pick it up in the third period because, of course, it does go quite a bit into the extra time.
Right.
It would be kind of neat to maybe see it in its entirety, but I understand why they're doing what they're doing. I thought that the Ottawa-Buffalo Game 1 playoff mm-hmm. game from recent memory would have been on there, but I do know that if you remember, some of those games are not Sabres games. Like, that was, at the time, that was on the OLN network.
Right, right.
So, and OLN, which turned into Versus, which turned into, of course, now NBCSN. So, right. I don't know if of the fact that that broadcast was not a Sabres broadcast, if that's maybe why some of you might have said, oh, why didn't they pick this game or that game? There could have been an incredible game even from, like, let's just say this season. The NBCSN game, I don't know if they have the rights to be able to do that again. That's why I'm guessing some of the things that people might have thought, maybe they can get permission for it. I don't know, because it's a replay. I mean, I know sure. ESPN Classic replays games that were on CBS, you know, like an old college football game or something like that. So I don't know what the restrictions are, but out of the list that they gave, that Devils Game 6 playoff one is definitely the top one I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, that's a good point, though, that they might not have the rights to all of these games. And, I can't wait. Monday at 8 o'clock is Game 6, the 94 Eastern Conference quarterfinals. Sabres and Devils, like you said, picking up in the third period. So looking forward to that starting on Monday. Those games are Monday through Friday, all at 8 o'clock. So looking forward to that next week. Let's get into golf a little bit here. I thought that might be, and it kind of was, maybe the last sport to, like, the last domino to fall that canceled events, postponed events. I thought golf might survive because of it being more of an isolated sport. But, of course, I mean, just because it's more isolated, you don't have guys, you know, breathing down your neck, guarding you like an NBA game or battling with you in the corner like in a hockey game. You still are interacting, you know, with your caddy and then people, like, when you're checking in your scorecards. So, but was there any thought that you had at any point? Like, I tweeted this out and people seemed to, like, not dispute it. That did you ever think that maybe golf could see this through or survive this a little bit?
I think the physical act of them playing the sport, I think they could have gone through with. Now, I think that, you know, you remember what also takes to put together a tournament. Well, you got to have marshals, and you got to have volunteers, and you got to have scores, like you said. Now, could have they done it in an extreme minimum? Possibly, yes. I would think, you know, as we do right now, if you're outside and there's 4 people on a 500-yard span of a hole, well, you're probably safe, you know. What I think probably is the reasons that they canceled it more so was not even the physical act of them playing golf. The other sports you mentioned, yeah, you're sweating on each other, you're contacting each other, you're breathing on each other. In golfing, that necessarily wouldn't be the case. I think it was the fact that it's the image, oh, you're the sport that thinks, you know, you, like, you're not taking this seriously enough. I didn't think the PGA Tour wanted to be kind of known as, like, well, you're the sport that went on and played. I think they really are conscious about, they didn't want to be kind of labeled like they were insensitive in any capacity. And let's face it, these tournaments, you can't just play them all at the same course if you're going to do it. So there's travel involved, and it's not just the player. As you said, it's the caddy. There's the player that might have, you know, a couple members of the staff that go along with him. And the PGA Tour themselves, they have their own staff that, of course, has to be there with, you know, scorers and officials and rules and all that. And I don't think they wanted them traveling all throughout the country. So, yes, I think the physical act of the sport probably could have gone on. I think just the image that it sets that you were still playing while this coronavirus situation is obviously at extreme intensity, and just the travel in between, I think that's probably why they made the choice that they did. I'm disappointed they did it, but I totally understand them. And if they were even asking my opinion, I would advise them to not play, even though I think the physical act of, if you and I, Joe, just went out and played, I think it's fine.
Yep.
I actually was at a golf course late this afternoon at Tantera, and there were some people out, and I know some golf courses are actually promoting, like saying, hey, you know what, you need a little outlet, you need a little stress relief, you want a little exercise, come on over and walk and, you know, play nine holes. Some courses are doing some things in this area. I've talked with a couple PGA pros from the area about what they're doing. They are doing some things like they're actually taking the cup and raising it up so it sticks out of the ground a little. So that way,
okay,
the ball goes in, no one has to put their hand in there. You know, it just, you putt it, when it hits it, you're counting it. What I was at Tantera today, where I was at Tantera today, they actually put, they cut little, like swimming pool noodles. They cut like a little slice of it and wrapped it around the pole. So when your ball dropped in, instead of it going all the way to the bottom, it dropped in like about a, just like maybe like a quarter of an inch. So you could see that it fell, but this way you didn't have to stick your hand in there. You know, you could just grab the ball and move on. I know courses are saying, you know, we're not going to have rakes in the bunkers. No one touch the flag. The flag can stay in, and you really can go ahead and play. I mean, if you want to go out with a buddy and play, you can keep your social distancing. You don't have to touch anybody anybody else's stuff. You can just walk the course and get a nice little, you know, few hours outside. So I think for those, you know, as this is going to carry on, I think, a lot longer than maybe we thought, for people to get some exercise, to get some leisure in for whatever you can. I think golf's a pretty reasonable option right now for people.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I had somebody asking me on Twitter to ask you about like what's happening with courses in the area, and I went for a walk today, and it was nice to get outside. Like the weather, like at least temperature-wise, was really nice today, and I didn't know what to tell them, because I actually haven't looked into seeing what's been going on in local courses. I know Nate Geary's been golfing a little bit in the past couple of weeks, so that's a good idea. I'm glad you mentioned that, and I'm gonna maybe even see if maybe I'm after my little self quarantine here, I might try to get out there. So we'll see what happens there. Brian Koziel joining me, Joe DiBiase here on the Nightcap. In terms of the PGA, the Masters rescheduled to September. I think I have that right. The PGA Championship has been postponed. All events up until May 10th have been canceled or postponed. Do you think we're going to still see all four majors played this season?
Whew, that's a tough question. Yeah, the PGA Championship announced this week that they are going to postpone, which is now on the new calendar in the middle of May. And that's right now where all the professional golf events are postponed through. I think the Masters is big enough, and they can do it on their own. They probably could play in the fall, and people would still be really engaged in watching the event. The rest of the events that aren't majors, I think the tour is doing the right thing by just canceling them. There's just nowhere to put them in the calendar. And some of these courses that they have events at are obviously maybe unavailable to play in the winter months. So I just think you just won't see some of these events that take place on a normal basis. The next major that would be on the calendar that hasn't been touched at all yet in terms of any sort of postponement is the U.S. Open, which is Father's Day weekend in June. So I think they probably still can have a few more weeks to do it. The only thing that I feel like, if you said, what's your guess, I think it'll get either postponed or moved, and here's why. This year's U.S. Open is scheduled to be played at Wingfoot Golf Club. It is in Westchester County in New York, which, if you've been following it, is one of the worst spots in the country for the breakout of right now of coronavirus positives. And who knows what it's going to look like a few weeks from now. It's amazing how just a week ago today, they were playing the Players' Championship in front of fans. I mean, doesn't that seem like forever ago?
Right.
A week. It was just a week ago. They were playing round one of the Players at Sawgrass in front of fans. And now a week later here, it feels like our lives have just been totally shut down. So, you know, June is a long way away. We're in the middle of March. We're 3 months away. Let's hope that we're back to some sort of normalcy at that point. But because of where it is, the schedule is to be at Wingfoot, which is in Westchester there. I could see that being postponed or moved because of its location.
That's a good point. Where it is, of course, matters to that. And I think am I wrong on this? Wasn't the Players moved before they even started that first day of the first round? Or the first round? I might have that wrong. I thought they moved it from the Pacific Northwest to TPC Sawgrass, but I could have that wrong.
That event's always the Players Championship since the '80s has always been at Sawgrass. It's part of like the Florida swing of tournaments that they usually play in March.
Gotcha. Last thing on this, and it's more on the course related. Let's hope that everything continues to the flattening of the curve, everything everybody's talking about, social distancing, and we get through this within a couple of months. On the course related to the timing and everything, Tiger Woods was not playing because of a back issue. Does it seem like that if everything goes smoothly and we maybe play the Masters somewhere in the late summer or in the early fall and some of the other majors get pushed back as well, that some extra time to heal his back maybe would make him more likely to win it as opposed to if the Masters specifically had gone on as scheduled?
Yeah, I think for Tiger physically, the tour taking a break, I guess, would be a positive for him. He obviously backed out of the Players' Championship. He, a lot of years, plays in that Arnold Palmer Invitational event, which was the week in front of the Players this year. He didn't play in that either because he said his back wasn't ready. So for him to have extra time to heal that up, now again, you know, who knows? We could be talking a full calendar year. We don't know how this is going to play out. But if there is PGA Tour golf at some point this summer, this hiatus, I guess you would say, is a benefit to Woods. It's also a benefit to one of the other biggest names on the tour in terms of who's been dominating for the last few years, and that's Brooks Koepka. He's had a few injuries, including a knee injury, and he's had a couple of starts this year where he's missed the cut or played poorly, and he says, he's openly admitted, I'm not 100%. I've been told by the doctors that I can't do any damage by playing, but he says he's just not fully recovered yet. So I think for two of the biggest names on the tour, Woods obviously by far the biggest name, and Koepka, who's maybe been the best player on tour the last 2 years, this break for them might be a benefit. I'm sure, you know, they don't want to have 8 months off, but two or three, it could do them some good physically.
Right. All right, Brian, thanks, and hopefully we will talk soon.
Okay. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Derek.
Thanks. There's Brian Koziel on the Westher Hotline. We'll take a timeout now. We'll loop back around to our running back conversation at some point here. Our interview of the day, Benj Solak, who was on with the guys in the morning today, will be on in the second hour. And we'll roll along. 803-0550 is the number for your calls. Joe DiBiase and Derek Kramer here on the Nightcap on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to the Nightcap, Joe DiBiase and Derek Kramer, for another hour plus here on WGR. Derek in our Dunn Tire Studios. I am in self-isolation in bed. Does that make my bed the Dunn Tire Studios? Because
no,
I think the Dunn Tire Studios is supposed to be wherever wherever I am, or maybe where you are. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like it's where I am. I'm looking at the banner in the studio right
okay.
now. But
So this is not the Dunn Tire Studios.
I'm going to crown your studio right now. You are in the Work Distancing Studios.
The Work Distancing Studios. I like
yes.
it. We should sponsors list if you're out there. You have an opportunity here to sponsor the Work Distancing Studios. So we'll see. Derek, I have a fantasy-related question for you that relates to all the quarterback movement in the league.
Hang
right
on, let
now.
Me get Bulldog.
that might not help me. I'm a dynasty fantasy team. I have five quarterbacks. Now, this is a team, by the way, where last year, when as poorly as possible for me, I ended up having to circle around to Philip Rivers being my quarterback, which did not go well. He's no longer on the team. I've got five quarterbacks. In terms of what they are next year, in terms of fantasy, rank them 1 to 5.
Oh boy,
Baker Mayfield, Nick Foles, Tyrod Taylor, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Cam Newton. How would you rate those guys 1 to 5 in terms of their value and or how you think they're going to do next season?
Oh, what happened there, bud?
I got a lot of guys that are going to start, but I don't think any of them are going to be very good. Maybe Mayfield. Mayfield with Stefanski, man. Like, I think that could really turn around this year.
You know, Mayfield's probably the top one here, but you got to remember it is the Browns. So there's always that factor to play into everything because the Browns just ruin everything. But I'm going to say Mayfield, then Garoppolo, Newton, situation dependent, Foles, ooh. Tyrod.
You put Tyrod last. I thought you might put Tyrod third. I mean, he's a good fantasy quarterback, dude. Like, when he gets that rushing.
He was okay. He was steady as a fantasy quarterback. He wasn't a he wasn't someone I would put in a must start. Because I remember it was you and I doing the show when Tyrod was here. But
yes.
I never thought of Tyrod ever being a must start. Because he always seemed to have a low ceiling, but a high floor. So he was reliable,
yes.
but not someone that I would put into the starting lineup all the time. The Bears intrigue me with Nick Foles. I still have him at 4 because he is indeed only Nick Foles. But I do like a lot of what they have there. Allen Robinson would be a nice little thing to for any quarterback to enjoy. So there's that to look into. Tariq Cohen is always a solid option there for you as well. And then you also have to look at Montgomery's there as the running back in Chicago as well.
Yeah.
But Newton is my mystery piece, I think. He can range anywhere from 3 to 5, depending on where he lands. So I'm not putting Tyrod.
Well, honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if he ended up being the number one fantasy quarterback of that list at the end of the year. It's just, you're right. Like, he'd have to go to the right spot. Like, if you told me right now that next year Cam Newton plays 16 games as the starting quarterback as the New England Patriots, I think then you're debating between him and Mayfield as opposed to him and Foles and Tyrod.
Hot take. Not really a hot take. We talked about this yesterday in an extensive nature. New England's not a great place for quarterbacks right now. Tom Brady made it work because he's Tom Brady. And even then, he was mortal last year. They don't have anything outside of Julian Edelman.
Yeah, you're right. Sanu is okay at best. N'Keal Harry could be good, but he wasn't great in year one. Yeah, you make a good point there. One thing that I want to mention as we kind of loop back around to running back when we return, Todd Gurley and Stephon Diggs have been tweeting at each other in the last 5 minutes, and I just want to kind of get into that a little bit when we come back, and we'll continue to talk Bills and free agency, Bills and expectations, and is Jameis Winston and or Cam Newton, like, are they really not going to have a job? Because it's looking that way. 803-0550 is the phone number. Joe DiBiase and Derek Kramer here on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.